Hello.
Hey.
Hello to our inaugural, episode, of Alvarez Marcel Corporate Transactions Group, We're here, Jeff, We're definitely doing a podcast.
We are here. I would not have expected this a few months ago, but no, we're here. Beautiful Miami. Thank you for having me down here.
Yes. I'm actually excited, kind of bump, and pretty exciting time. Everything that's going on this past, let's say, few months in anticipation of our group's launch. All the amazing people that are joining us from different firms.
Absolutely.
It's been super, super, super exciting. Actually, how to augment this new form of thought leadership and really talk to our clients, our colleagues, actually is pretty amazing. That's kind of what we envision to really augment, disruption, leadership, all of the above.
Well, I mean, I think, to your point, when we decided to build CTG, we realized we needed to do something different. And we needed to be modern with the times, the way our clients' businesses have to be competitive and on the front foot. So, this is how people consume media. This is how the best way to reach our audience. So let's do this. Excited to be here.
Yeah, kind of have to challenge the status quo, and I'm very happy to be doing this. But Jeff, let's dive right in. Can you elaborate on the factors that led Alvarez Marcel to form this group and adopt a insight-oriented approach over traditional methodologies?
Yeah, sure. So, a couple questions in there, but, A&M started out as a restructuring group, strong operational background, strong history of delivering value to shareholders, decided to get into the private equity side of the business, I think coming up on 20 years now, about 18 years. And again, extremely good results. They have a branded name, within the private equity space. And I think that speaking with Brian Marcel, he said, we looked at it, we're having a great growing private equity business. We recognize private equity only touches 25% of the total deals that are out there. There's a huge opportunity for A&M to bring that footprint, that value to a broader set of clients. So as they've done in the past, they realized there's a market for them to build a business in. They were very thoughtful. This was a little bit longer process than people probably appreciate. But they decided that they're going to build this CTG business to bring an alternative for clients, a service that clients are demanding. And they're asking for in the market. They want different client experience, different set of outcomes. And to your second question around insights, that's what we want to bring. We want to bring solutions and insights to our clients. There's a lot of process. There's going to be tools. Everybody has to follow a certain path. But what we want to do is we want to put the client in the center of everything. We want to build solutions from beginning to end that are realistic, attainable. We want to be around to help implement them. We want to use all the data and all the technology that's available for us to help get to those insights as quickly as possible, make smart business decisions, and then go implement them. And I think that's maybe a little different than what a lot of clients are experiencing today.
The why now? I mean, definitely it's been a different scenario on the past, 15 months with, we're definitely in a different economic cycle with higher interest rates, valuation is still very high, but why invest on a new professional service organization, a new group now?
I think the time is right. A&M and Brian and Tony don't wade into something haphazardly. So I think it's been something they've been thinking about for a while, seeing where they can really be successful. They enter businesses that they can be successful in. So I think there was a lot of focus that went on to it up front. But if you look at where we sit today, we have a very interesting regulatory environment that continues to change. We have a very interesting economic environment right now, even before interest rates went up. Valuations were huge. There was a huge gap between buyers and sellers, which made deals a lot more complex. The global economy and global supply chains and taxes and tariffs and all that is just adding complexity to deals, which makes it harder to be successful. And I think you couple that with some of these emerging technologies around AI and what the art of the possible is and how you boil the ocean on data. All that converges in 2023, 2024 and beyond that says, hey, there's a chance for us to change things and to get better outcomes faster if we do things differently. And I think that's what building a new business and building a new solution through that lens allows you to bring a different approach and a different client experience.
Yeah, and as we embark on this journey with A&M to form this new group, it's clear that a new approach has been championed, right? It's pretty evident that we came to challenge the norms. But one of the, that insight-oriented approach is poised to disrupt this, when you mentioned the legacy methodology. Could you shed some light on some of the key factors that propel this group to really take this bold step?
Well, again, I think that deals continue to become more challenging to not only evaluate, but to deliver on for shareholder value. Things are moving at a much faster pace because of technology. And again, in order to be competitive in the M&A market, you need to be a leader in this. And clients have a choice. They build it in-house or they go hire it externally. And so when we're representing a client, our goal is to make sure they're as successful as they can be, meaning we want them to either win the deal that they enter into or find out it's not for them and back away as quickly as possible. And so we want to make sure that in order for our clients to be successful, they're bringing the latest and greatest thinking, data, technology, tools, and experience of people that have actually done deals and done winning deals and know when to walk away, so that we give our clients competitive advantage in the market. That's the whole point of them. These are competitive transactions, and we want to make sure our clients are as competitive as they can possibly be.
And I do recognize that because, I mean, especially on that, for example, integrated due diligence, let's say, approach that we always champion, and the degree of sophistication that's required really to win in the market, to help clients to win in the market, help really realize the fully potential of the deal, it's paramount that we really go deep and dive in insights to make sure you realize on value. But walk me through, let's say, what is the difference for you in terms of, let's say, what is the key factors for value creation? Because we always talk a lot about, let's say, value creation, value identification, and value realization. What do those three things mean to you?
Well, one, they all need to be, that needs to be one thing, right? The whole point of doing a deal is to create enterprise value for your organization, ultimately increasing shareholder value. There's a lot of levers you can pull on that. I would tell you historically, it's always around cost synergies, and that's always been around G&A, and a lot of times headcount of merging back office. And that's kind of table stakes now. And honestly, with technology and with a couple of different pandemic economic cycles, a lot of those back office functions are pretty optimized as they are today. So there's not a lot of synergies there necessarily. So then you got to work your way up the P&L. And so we find a lot of the cost opportunities sit within supply chain, cost of goods sold, distribution is huge. And that's going to continue to be huge as we look at different modes of transportation, different ways of going cross border, cross continent, things like that. But then I think the part where people that are really winners in this is when they look at the business from the top line, gross to net. How can they grow the top line and maintain or expand margin? That's ultimately what share price is a lot of times based upon. You know, we tell clients, if you take $100 million out of it, but your top line kind of stagnates or God forbid starts to drop, you're not going to maintain your share price, or you're definitely not going to increase it. You're going to be a laggard amongst your peers. And I think people are going to view your company as stuck in this integration chaos and they're too distracted, right? So we really have to look at the entire P&L. We have to start at the top and really think about what drives the business, what drives the top line growth, whether that be scale, expansion, new geographies, new innovation, cross-selling or bundling of capabilities and services that allow you to hit a new customer channel or customer base? What's the best way to get that product or service to market in the most efficient manner, and certainly build an operation behind it that supports it and it's not bloated? But all that has to be part of the value picture, and it has to be one of the models to say, how much is this business worth today? How much is it worth under my ownership? And once you have those two answers, you're driving the process on, do I need to walk away, or can I put my most competitive bid forward and win this thing?
And how does, for example, you see CTG is best equipped to support that?
I think we're taking people that have been doing this a long time, 10, 15, 20 years. You're probably going to talk to Kevin Martin, who leads the diligence side of our business. And we're taking that experience and recognizing that there is a different way to look at things. You know, a lot of times clients and even consultants, you get into a data room and you say, well, here's our data request list. And it's a list of 500 items. Yeah. And we always ask ourselves, what if they actually gave us all 500 of those things? Would we get a better answer or a different outcome? We never get all that stuff. No. And we usually get the stuff we don't necessarily want. We get the other stuff. And again, a lot of that is nice to have, nice to know, but it creates a lot of white noise when you really need to figure out what's the value of the business that you're looking at. And I think that we want to look at diligence and say, what actually goes in the model? What drives value? What drives accretion, dilution, to help clients and their boards say, yes, this is what it's worth today in current ownership. This is what it's worth under my ownership. Here's the gap. Here's the opportunity. Here's the upside. Let's go get this, or let's not waste another minute on it and walk away. And so we talk about integrated diligence. We want to look at what are the real levers that go into the model. So certainly the historical financial, but what are the forecasts saying? What are the customer trends saying? What is the social media saying of the potential upside downside of the project product? What are the operational factors? What's the supply chain challenges? You know, import, export, all those things. Like, what is important for this deal? If you only had 20 pieces of information, what's going to actually move the model? That's what we want to help our clients be able to clearly look at it and have all the stakeholders go, yep, I understand all that. Here's our.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the best approach to really approach investments, because our clients are looking to inorganic in strategy in the form of investments to a catalyst of growth. And my question to you is, how do you see that CTG, this group, is what is different about this group, that what is refreshing to the market? Or maybe talk a little bit more about this owner mindset mentality.
Yeah, so a lot of it starts with A&M's culture of being operator first, operator focused, and their deep history of being, you know, incredible in the restructuring market, doing great work on portfolio companies and sitting with management to really help turn those around. So we're bringing an operator mindset. We're bringing experience. Unlike a lot of the other providers out there today, we're young as far as our size and scale. And so we're building with experience. We're not building a traditional pyramid model where, you know, in order for the economics to work on our end, we need to bring in 15 or 20 people, 10 of which have less than 3 years experience or may sit offshore. Like, we're going to bring in a much more robust kind of set of qualities, capabilities, experiences of senior advisors. They're going to sit down with our client and say, I've done this before. I've done more deals in the last 2 years than most people have done their whole career. We're going to bring that capability to you. We're going to partner up with leading edge technology, leading edge AI solutions, so we can go fast. We want to go, I always pound on speed, risk, and value. How quickly can we move? How do we raise the floor on risk? How do we raise the ceiling on value? That's what this whole game is. I think we want to bring people that can talk through that in a business lens, not through a process lens, because they've only done it from a consulting side. We're bringing an offer. You came from industry. I came from industry. Over half the people at A&M have had meaningful executive P&L responsibility roles in industry before they got consulting. That's the kind of team we're building. So that we have business-minded people solving business problems.
No, it makes a lot of sense. But that, for example, I think people is paramount, and always fascinating me to sometimes watch like say old videos from Steve Jobs, when he augments, like say the times that he's going to develop the Apple One, and he went to like the high-end strategy that he created, you know, to really foster innovation. What is the key aspect of the people that is joining this organization? What is so special about them? What drives this collective group of people to really come to a place where you can say it's an industry, it's kind of a dinosaur industry that haven't changed much in the last 20 years, to come now and trying to disrupt the market?
Well, you know, A&M is a little bit of an outsider in the professional services realm. You know, it's not as highly regulated as a lot of the competitors. So we don't have the conflicts. We don't have the handcuffs. We don't have the issue of only being able to take people 80% of the way and then step away. I mean, we're there through implementation. We want to help own the results. We want to help own and take part in the success of the client. So I think from a company standpoint, we have that operator mindset of concept. You know, what's the art of the possible? What's reality? What's a realistic implementation plan that we can sit here and take through the end together and celebrate the results together? So I think you have that piece. I think, again, we are going to be a little bit smaller. I mean, we're still a 10,000 person firm, global reach, but it allows us to be a little bit more nimble on things like developing technologies, developing delivery models, understanding some of the trends in the market. We are looking to build our team with more experienced professionals, both in business and professional services. We have a nice balance there. Again, it allows us to be a little bit more nimble to react to what our clients are asking for, as opposed to, you know, a more traditional model where you bring in hundreds of people out of undergraduate and put them through training programs, and they become, they're great people, they're smart people, but it takes a lot of time to build the capability and the experience of that model. And again, I think we're trying to come in from the other way of on the operating side.
The nimble aspect, I think someone that something that is, it's really touching on me. Can you speak a little more about that leadership action results, that speed to market? Why speed is so key? I keep hearing, like, say, do speed. I mean, we've been through this together for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, speed's a huge component, right, of being successful in a transaction. Whether you're on the buy side or the sell side, you want to be the one driving the process because that gives you competitive leverage. If you're the sell side, you want to continually be pushing the process to ask your buyers to react. If you're on the buy side, you want to make sure you have your questions ready. You've read the data room. You want to be able to move forward with first bids and forget about the other people. And so that you are, again, kind of pushing forward and driving forward. I think that goes up to signing, which drives the competitive and the evaluation process. But then, again, whether you're on the buy side or the sell side, you want to drive the close period. I mean, that's a point of limbo. The thing is really announced. All that does is increase risk and chaos into the business in play. Whether you're a seller, you want to drive that close as quick as possible. If you're the buyer, you want to take control of it as quick as possible. And you have to be prepared. And every day or every week that you're delayed on something like that, it's an opportunity for the deal to fall apart, for key talent to walk out the door, for a customer to make a decision that's, you know, going to put things upside down, or for a competitor to come in and say, we're going to go take that customer. We're going to go take that person. So we want to help drive speed so that you can shrink that window of uncertainty, shrink that window of chaos as much as possible, because ultimately the goal is not to be in a state of transition forever or to have a 3, 4, 5 year integration process. It's how quickly can we acquire a business, stabilize it, generate the value, grab the synergies, and go back to doing your day-to-day business, right? Get back to what your key capabilities are and get out of that transition phase.
Yeah, and especially with this volatile environment, I think it's speed to action. It's a key component. I was talking to a client last year, a European client. If you're hearing this, you probably know that you are, you know, but essentially he told me that that signing to close period, you wanted to move as fast as possible. The example I was using was the war in Ukraine. He had a very strategic deal in between, you know, that period. and the deal collapsed because of the war in Ukraine. And I think that the current volatile environment that we have from the social aspect, economic, you know, you name it, regulatory, right. I mean, definitely there's a lot to unpack. We'll have, let's say, also a podcast on key, let's say, antitrust aspects. I think it's paramount. Speed to action, it's key.
Well, you've been on the sell side, right? And you've been in the meetings with sellers and bankers and buyers. Everybody knows there's always one or two bidders that are the first to action, and they always send in, they're always trying to drive things forward. And it always puts them in a more advantageous situation where they're constantly going, we put our bid in, we put our questions in, you know, what's going on here? It creates a competitive advantage for those people, as opposed to folks that are constantly having to react and ask for extensions and ask for delays and seem like they're going to be unprepared or difficult to work with. Again, we want to make sure our clients are the ones driving things forward, because it puts them in the ability to make better decisions quicker, more control, and help control the outcome.
You touched a couple of times in tech knowledge, you know, and I know this is a topic that I've been dealing with AI for the past, I would say, 10 or 15 years, but I think the last two, it's been a table stake for everyone. The one thing that definitely fascinates me, I see a lot more people talking about AI, but not a lot of, let's say, action. It's very philosophical. What that means to you and how CTG should be leveraging technology as a whole?
Because we are starting and we're building, we have to leverage technology in order for us to catch up to the competition. Like, we can't build it and train it with traditional resources. So technology will be a key component for CTG, but it should be for everybody. I mean, when we talk about speed, you know, some of the tools out there now to be able to ingest a 500 document, 1,000 document data room, and within hours come back out with preliminary insights. So what the data means, what's missing, what's duplicative, what's in conflict with one another. Historically, that would take you weeks and, you know, of three or four junior resources reading stuff and taking notes, comparing notes. You can get that now within an 8-hour turnaround period, which then allows more experienced people to take those insights, preliminary insights, and really form kind of value hypotheses and risk hypotheses and dig into where the challenges actually are. It allows you to take what would have been maybe 500 to 1,000 documents to 1,000 to 5,000 documents and get the same level of granularity back. We talk about, we don't want to boil the ocean. No, we will. Like, give us a little bit more water and we'll keep boiling. And I think that that not only goes on the analysis side, but it also goes on, let's be honest, consultants have historically spent a lot of time creating documentation in order to look pretty for clients. There's technology capabilities now that allow us to, again, focus on the insights, less on the form, right? So substance over form. All that's going to go back to helping our clients get a more efficient use of using consultants, right? And I think that's why we want to build a team of more senior people, because a lot of the administrative jobs are not as important today as they were 5 to 10 years ago. So again, I think that all goes to helping our clients drive outcomes faster and be on the front foot.
Yeah, I know Jeff is already teasing up a little bit about some of our technology capabilities that we will be sharing with you very soon, but I agree with you. Thanks for sharing those insights. It's clearly that CTG not only following the trends, but setting up a lot of, say, good things for the future. And it definitely, we're paving the way from a new era for professional services. But now let's get a little bit personal, Jeff. You know, what inspired you to pursue a consulting career? You came from industry and you know, to my knowledge, you had a pretty successful career in the industry.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what looked for me, why I looked to get into consulting was within industry, as people know, I worked at Pepsi for a while and I was progressing and had a lot of great opportunities. A lot of those opportunities were looking for me to move around the country, different spots. And I was young and married and decided that's probably not what I was looking to do the next 20 years. So honestly, that's what got me into consulting. But I always wanted consulting, think I'd do it like 2 or 3 years, kind of get it on the resume, but I was not a career consultant. What I found there was kind of a couple of things that really kept my interest. One is you have to stay on the top of things. You have to stay relevant, no matter where you are in your career. I was in a board meeting, or not on a board I was sitting on a couple of weeks ago. There was a couple of CEOs and a CFO who were talking about how they had no idea how to use ChatGPT, right? They didn't even have to log in. They just wasn't one of their things. You know, I couldn't do my job if I wasn't up to at least on what that was. Now, I'm sure I don't use it as well as you or.
No, I'm a co-pilot, you know, but I'll do a tattoo with co-pilot. I love this thing, you know.
But you have to stay sharp on what's relevant, on whether it's technology, what's on market trends, whether it's on, you know, Fed rates, like all that. It forced you to stay sharp. I think the fact that I get a chance to, even if I just stay focused on the consumer products industry, I've had a chance to see how 15 of the world's strongest consumer companies look from the inside. I can draw upon that experience of what's made them each individually successful, what's some of their challenges. When you work for one company, you usually only just do that one company. So I think, you know, that fast-paced nature of it suits my personality. I like the intense nature of deals, which kind of led me there. And I like meeting smart people all around the country. Whenever we hire people, regardless of where they live, we know we're going to work together. You get to work with some of the smartest people in the country. It's great. Around the world, really. So all those things are what kind of made me stay. But yeah, I got into it for personal reasons and with never the intention of being around. And it's been, I guess, 17 or 18 years now. It's been quite a journey. And I'm really excited for this this next part.
Yeah. And as we wrap up today, you have to share what is on our horizon in terms of professionally, personal. I know you have some interesting stuff coming up. What are you doing now from now on? Let's see, what's this summer ahead for CTG and for Jeff Wilson?
So what's really exciting about the next several years, and I'll say kind of 5 to 10 years. If I try to predict anything beyond 5 to 10 years, I'm fooling everybody. But we are trying to build a corporate solution. Several of us, you, myself, Kevin, Preston, a lot of us have come from different spots of the industry where we've seen incredible things that we definitely want to replicate. We've also seen a few missteps that everyone wishes they could take back. We've got a chance to build something special here, something to, in your words, to disrupt the industry. And that's not something you do in 6 months or 12 months, right? So if I look at the next 5 to 10 years, I think we want to make sure that we are building a foundation of a really solid solution that is client-centric, that doesn't have to be interpreted, but they go, yes, this actually answers my problem, but is nimble enough that we can evolve it, knowing that 12 months from now, we're going to have to adjust the way things are done. So we want to build a strong foundation, a nimble solution that we can build upon. We want to continue to build an extremely diverse team. And I say diverse in, as far as different backgrounds that can bring different business perspectives.
Intellectual diversity is key. That's paramount. I think, I mean, there's a lot of talks, you know, we don't need to go beyond this specifically, say, lane, but I think intellectual diversity is paramount.
Yeah, we want to, and on that, we want to build a team that has a winning culture, right? We want to build one culture. We're pulling people from all of the professional firms, Big Four, the Big Three, several from industry that are here now, several that were within A&M before we got here that have chosen to join us. You know, we need to make sure, and we will be successful. We're going to build one culture, one winning team going forward. And I think when we do that and we start to put a market strategy together, starting with the middle markets and then working our way up to maybe the Fortune 200, Fortune 100, I think we can have really compelling solution, really compelling outcomes that clients are going to want to work with us. And our goal is to build a brand, where people say you want them on your team. whether that's clients, other clients, bankers, lawyers. You know, I think we've all been where a certain banking team walks in and you're like, you know, that's the A team. They're coming in to really do this. Some of the investment banks have done. Like, that's ultimately the goal we want to have, where market starts to come to us because they know we can drive better outcomes for them.
I mean, that's one thing that we talk a few times. We're not this firm. We're not the guys that will go sell some work and not show up next day.
That's right.
We're going to collaborate with the clients. We're going to pitch, do the things that we have to do from the commercial standpoint. The following Monday, we're there to deliver.
Well, you know, one of the main drivers that I came to A&M was to get closer to client service. Because of the way A&M is structured, everybody, you know, every partner, managing director within this firm serves clients. That's their top priority. I like that. I like to get in the room and solve problems. Yep. There's certainly an amount of practice building and infrastructure building that is required to run a business like we're trying to, but that's not my priority. My goal is to work with people like yourself to build that when we can, but to really go out and serve clients. And that's what I want to do for the balance of my career. I'm not trying to work my way up in a corporate ladder to some other role or position that takes me further away from the market. That's what I enjoy doing. I think that's the people that we're bringing on enjoy doing. And we're pretty clear about that early on. Is, you know, your goal shouldn't be to become an office managing partner at A&M, because when you do that, that means you're just serving clients, but you also are the office managing partner.
Yeah.
So that's where I think we, it's just a little bit different model, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. But as we conclude today's episode, you have a glimpse of how transformative and CTG will be to the market. It's clear that we're just not only going to participate on this industry revolution, we're really going to drive change. On the next few episodes, we'll have, let's say, a topic related to industry. We'll have a regulatory topic. And this series, Welcome to the Future, will come back with a demonstration about AI, what we're really doing, not only talking about AI, but really demonstrating, you know, what we're doing. So stay tuned for some more insights and discussions like this. I hope, Jeff, you enjoyed today's discussion. I think this was fun. You know,
it's fun. It's new. Again, this is something that we don't do a lot of these other firms that I've been a part of.
No.
It's exciting. Congratulations on putting it together. I think it's fun. I think it's a great way, again, to get a lot of content in a pretty digestible format, hopefully.
Yeah. Till next time, I'm your host today, and see you around.
Thanks, Marcos.